pastor friend Donna Claycomb Sokol, who serves down in D.C., tells the story of visiting family out in Missouri. And that family was a part of the Disciples of Christ tradition. And so what do they do at baptism? But not sprinkle, but immerse or dunk, right? That's not the official word. Go into the water, deeply into the water, similar to what we may have experienced in the scripture, as we know that Jesus would have been likely submerged in the Jordan River. But as Donna was touring this church of a family member, she went around with the pastor, and they went around to the back where, right next to the sanctuary, was the actual tub of which they did their baptisms. And there at the tub, she saw right next to it one of those hunting pairs of pants that has the boots attached to the pants, right? So that you don't get any water up and down. And I guess that's what the pastor would have worn in order to get into the water. And as they were going to leave the room, a seminarian then turned to the pastor and said, "Is that all you're going to tell her about our experience here?" And he's like, "Sometimes we use this as a hot tub." And she was taken aback a little bit, I think, because she was thinking as a pastor trying to imagine sneaking into her more gothic-type church in her bathing suit, taking a chill in the bathtub there at some point. But then it dawned on her as she was thinking on it and saying, is it that maybe a little bit what we need to think about in terms of getting in the water, right? That it's not just something that we cleanse with on a daily basis in the shower. It's not something that we take in through our drinking. But it's something that, for those people who definitely were there at the Jordan that day, this was a revolutionary thing that was then going to be a part of their everyday. So that once they were in that water, water wasn't going to be the same anymore. And why is that? It's because they weren't the same anymore. So Pastor Donna says that they were on to something, getting in the regular water as a reminder of that water and the transforming powers that it has, should be a little bit more routine for us. And yet not so routine that we forget the power behind the ritual of why it is that we need to go back to the water. At Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, in many churches, this is a time for reaffirmation of a baptismal commitment that people have made. Sometimes it's as a baby, as it was for me at my grandparents' church in Jackson, Mississippi, with my grandparents' grandfathers looming around me. I have a little picture about this big, and I'm just red-faced and 3 months old. Surely then I couldn't in my little brain put together exactly what was happening, but in the Methodist tradition that I come from, that part didn't so much matter. What mattered was the prevenient grace of God that came before my conception, was there during my growth, and was going to be there through all of my journey. And in the liturgy of the Methodist Church and many other churches, and maybe the church of which you had grown up or in this church too, there's a sense in which anytime someone is baptized, there's a blessing. It comes because that church, that nurturing community, is going to be a part of that growth experience for that person. That in a reaffirmation, you are committing that anytime someone is coming before you to be baptized, you are remembering and committing to baptism in that same covenant as well. Believing that God's grace came before, comes before you can even decide or accept or receive it. And it continues on, thereby flowing, giving life. Now, I know some people in this room wouldn't have been baptized because it wasn't a part of their experience, may never be baptized. But today it's about water. It's about whether we believe that the Spirit is continuing to show up for us in something as simple and as a part of our physical and very beings as water itself. We know that the large percentage of our bodies is made up of water. I was in a conference on Friday about silence on the brain, and it appears that about 80% of the water that's in your body is actually going to help the function of your brain. All these neural pathways, kind of like a river itself in there, going off in the tributaries and helping your body and your mind fire in ways that you can continue to give thanks for God and what God is doing in our physical forms, as complex as they are. Yes, maybe we need to be getting in the hot tub every day. Maybe we need to be remembering that water in that special way. As you'll see, I have a balloon on me. I haven't forgotten. In part, it's because I want to continue and not just let it fall off the map, this call to joy that I'm living into, trying to be on the corner as often as I can when I'm not fighting too much bronchial stuff. And I'm going out there in order to be a source of spreading of joy. But I'm bringing the balloon in here to be a reminder of what's going on out there, because I want what's going on out there to be the same as it's going on in here. And it's not just joy that I would reserve for the thousands of people that are passing by, but I hope as your enabling minister, I'd have some to share with you too. And so this balloon is a reminder of that. This balloon is also a reminder of the dove. The dove that comes in this time and passage in which Jesus goes to the water. It's a physical reminder of the lifeline that exists between creator and created. We know that Jesus, in that incarnation of bodily form, was living out a sense of God's love here on earth. And that dove was a reminder in that day and age, and in our day and age too, we kind of look to the heavens to be a guiding source. We have a sense of God up there, out there, a part of this beautiful earth that has been created. And so that dove comes as a symbol. And we don't know. I've always wondered about this. I've always thought about it. We don't know. We get a sense that this is a private voice that comes in. But if it was a private voice that came to Jesus, "This is my son, the beloved, of whom I am well pleased," how would we know about it, right? There's some way in which this is communicated, whether Jesus tells it, whether John's in on the story. We get to be in on the story, and we assume that those who are hurting at the edges of the Jordan River are somehow blessed in recognizing the holy moment that has happened. For you see, there are a lot of hurting people zooming past, thousands and thousands every day out here. But right there near Judea, there were also people that were longing for sources and signs of hope. And so they would go the 20-mile journey from Jerusalem. Jesus himself would go about the 8-mile journey from Galilee in order to come to this place where they heard there was this really crazy person dunking in the hot tub every day. And they said, "What is this about?" Especially for Jews, it was a part of the tradition to have cleansing rituals. To partly clean that body and recognize that it was a temple for God's use, you had to go in, especially for women, go in and clean and come out and be forgiven, be cleansed, be pure again. So that part wasn't the strange part so much as him going out and saying, "I'm going to go do it on the street," right? Now, this would have potentially happened at other points in biblical narrative, but when you had an opportunity to do it in the cloistered kind of monastic community we thought he was at Qumran, what then compels you to go out and say, "I'm going to make it more available for everybody"? That was his call. That was his prophetic call, to come outside of that space and to come and do some of what Isaiah said the servant might not do, and call and proclaim it on the sidewalk and make sure that those who would otherwise feel left out of that ritual and otherwise continue to feel unclean based on their status within the religious rites of the time could come and somehow feel a part of something new and something very, very inviting, something muddy. I don't know if you've seen pictures of the Jordan River, but it's not super clean. You go out and you stand in mud. It's actually quite chilly much of the year, sometimes hovering at 60 degrees. All the better, don't you think? When we're awakened in our spirit, we're revived in such a way. Have you ever come out of a really cold pool and just felt like your whole body was electrified? That may have been what it was like. Right before this passage, we get a clue as to what John is asking people to do. This is not a one-time thing, come in and enjoy, feel the sense of the community and go forth with no other changing, lasting ramifications. The word here for repent means a changing around. And it's connected to the word sin. And I'm looking at Marty because we unpacked this a lot in the past of all. He said, "I didn't do it." And I'm looking at John because he has continually brought to us the sense of the derivative of the word sin is to continually miss the mark. Right? I think we can identify with this in our lives some, because we strive to do good things and then sometimes come up short. Maybe just me. Does other? Yes. Yes. That you keep on trying and trying, and you're trying to hit that target and get it to the sweet spot. John was saying, here's the sweet spot. you know what? We might not continually to get it right, but in this moment, you can make a choice to hit the mark. And if God is calling you here to be immersed in this water, you can make a transformation and a change on your life, no matter what your previous story was. Was your story addiction? Was your story broken relationships? Was your story leprosy? What was your story? Come here and it can be changed. Even if it doesn't seem to change on the outside, change what's on inside. And that's going to affect how you can then be in community. And guess what? Even if you come from this cleansing water and people still choose in society to call and cast you out and point at you and claim that you are not worthy, you will know from the inside that you are. You will have, like Jesus, heard the words, "This is my beloved, of whom I am well pleased." And you can't approach the water again the same way. It can't pass through your lips in the same fashion. You can't get in the tub. You can't get in a river and not hear those words. This, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And just as it's the initiation of Jesus' ministry into something powerful, the same expectation is there for us too. We may not do the same kinds of healing work that Jesus does, and certainly not have the courage to go to the margins and proclaim for justice in all the same ways. But man, how do we get the courage? How do we get the courage each time that in when we feel the water to strive towards that? To believe that we can continually hit the mark. And we do so together. That was a big part of what Jesus was doing in solidarity with sinners. In solidarity with all the throng of people. It was a foretaste of the ministry he would do, going out to the hillsides and preaching in unconventional ways as a teacher. This is a start of a ministry that says, I'm doing something different here. Will you come along with me? It was actually showing God's solidarity with the human form. Coming and saying, I'm at one with your pain, I'm at one with your hope, and I'm at one with the love that is to come. Now, there is a sadness that comes as we think about the Jordan River today. I don't know, how many have been to the Jordan River? We have some folks who've been there today. Yes, I know Ellen quite recently, that you can't go to the original site they think may have been the place, because that's in Palestinian territory, but there is another spot that you can go where over 500,000 people come every year, and you get a little white gown, right, and you can put it on, you can wade out into the cold water. But they've had to section it off and allow only a certain level of purified water to come in the area that's dammed off for that experience. Why? Because the Jordan River itself has been deeply polluted. There's a deep level of sewage in that water. And for that reason, it's not safe for people to go in. If you've got cuts, if you've got things, you could actually become diseased, infected. The irony is deep, isn't it? That back in the day in a river in which you come that led into the Dead Sea where nothing was living, if you cast off your sins, if you cast off your inner pollution, it would be running down to another space and you would otherwise be cleansed. What does that tell us about our spaces in which we miss the mark? The desecration that we continue to enact in this world. The ways in which so many of our bodies of water, so many of our forests, so many of our lands succumb to the ways in which we miss the mark. And so the Jordan River today, as it testifies into the cleansing power, even that is a testimony to what still yet needs to be done by people that are of God's Spirit here on earth. That getting into that water today is a reminder of the work that continues need to be done to help clean our streams, to not participate in the pollution that leads to these larger effects on all of God's people. And it can feel so overwhelming. It can feel like the rush of the thousands of cars going by. It can feel like the long journey it must have been to Jerusalem. But Jesus is a Jesus and a God of impossibility. It starts with John, who's preparing a way outside of the normal realm, outside of that monastic community, and saying, bring it on. If we're going to be here for this time, for this one precious life in which we've been gifted, let us do our darndest to be in community together and to make a way for the generations that would need to still come to the Jordan River. Impossible? Maybe. But there's initiatives here locally for us, which we continue to explore how we be part of. I know many of you are actively involved individually in many things, coal initiatives, things related to solar power, wind power, all of these things. This is a place, a community in which we help to educate one another, where we point each other in directions to go and learn more about this or that, in order that we can continue to make collective voice sometimes, trying to make change and affect the earth in ways that we believe there's a life power in which we are called to continue our life together. None of this is easy. And some of it causes us to look within and say, I'm missing the mark in so many ways. I have a friend who's blogging on all the ways she's trying to reduce her use of plastics over the year to come. It's hard. I don't know if you've tried this, but taking your own straws and your own cups, taking your own to-go vehicles to restaurants, thinking outside the box and considering ways in which your imprint and your profile, and there may be voices that come in and say, why are you even bothering? You're just one person. There's so much pollution out there, there's no way that you can affect change. And you say, just like I do with this balloon out there on the corner each day and saying, it's making a difference for me. This spiritual practice I'm taking on, this to-go cart that I'm breaking, is a reminder of nothing else. It's a reminder to me of the change that God is calling all of us to. And that in my ongoing ritual practice, I do it not only on behalf of me, but on behalf of a people that are polluting streams. Because like it or not, friends, we are in solidarity with each and every one of God's beloved. There's not anyone that doesn't come under the canopy of that balloon. There's no one that doesn't come under the canopy of the spirit of love that is saying, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. So whatever your status of baptism, whatever your current relationship with water, I invite you to examine today at the bowls, as Vanessa and Kathy would invite us into a meditation of water. What is it in regards to your own spiritual practice in which you say, God, I want to hit the mark today? Maybe it's when you take that stone and you feel it in your hand and you take on that practice. At the beginning of the year is always a time in which we're toying with resolutions. Pray on it. Maybe it comes to you, maybe it doesn't right now. And then ask, you know, as you place it in the water, is there a way in which you can release it and trust that it will come as it will come with a new dedication upon your own heart? If you have never been baptized and you want to know more about baptism and what it is, I'm happy to share in some time with you. I'd love and welcome that opportunity. I can't wait for the day in which we next have a baptism in this community and I get to be a part of that beautiful ritual with you. Come and see me. It's something we can talk about, especially if you feel like you're not hitting the mark lately, that we can talk and we can connect and find how it is that the power of the water brings us together as God's beloved community. Amen.